Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, we're going.
Yeah, we're going. We're live.
We're live. Music's
all everything.
Music, I can't hear it.
No, but it is. Trust me.
But is it now the bit in the music where I talk?
Yes, it is.
Oh, right. Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we're here after round four of the Heineken Champions Cup, another big European weekend. Loads of news, loads going on. And just because we are 10 days away from Christmas, it doesn't mean it's the last one for us for the year, which it will be for a lot of others.
Yeah, it will be.
We are there every single week for you, come what may, even when JB calls in when he's on his honeymoon.
Yep.
Even from a hospital bed after you got impaled
spinal
on a tree.
Surgery. Yeah. Did that one.
I will be doing some next month remotely.
Oh, yeah, you're disappearing off across the world, are you not?
I am. Traveling around Southeast Asia for 3 weeks.
Oh, lovely.
Can't
How
wait.
The other half live?
We're at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We're Facebook, Instagram, all the rest of it. We're streaming live currently as well from the beautiful antique armchairs of the Rugby Dungeon.
With my nice new table runner. Thanks to you, Tim.
A Sail Sharks table runner, looking very nice. Well, listen, we've got lots to talk about, but I just want to say we are getting close to Christmas and there is one brilliant offer that you should take advantage of.
Oh?
The best razor that you can get, we would endorse. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. You can take advantage of a brilliant offer because we're mates with Cornerstone. They want to extend this offer to you where you can get a brand new razor, a brand new shaft engraved with your initials, weighty, metal, aluminium, precision engineered, and six Cornerstone razors in a presentation pack for £4.
Cornerstone's so good that, I think, was it Lever Brothers? Wanted to sue us for telling you how good they were.
It's true.
Yeah. Legal letters.
We got served legal letters. But they is really good. And £4, less than a pint. And so here's the deal. It would be something that Santa Claus could put in a stocking.
Yep, could do that.
Someone. Could be, if you've got a limit on a kind of present limit some families do and you want to get something that's good for not a lot, great. Or equally, if you just want to be tight but not be seen to be tight.
Absolutely.
It will get you out.
It's a stocking, and you can throw it down the chimney. There's plenty of ways to get your Cornerstone razor into your loved one's hands.
cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Go get it.
Wonderful news.
Right, there's a bit of news this week. What's been going on?
There's been a few coaching announcements this
week.
Oh,
yeah, there has, isn't there?
So, starting off with probably the biggest announcement of the week, the All Blacks have a new coach.
Is it bad I don't know who this guy is? Should I know him? You know, as a guy who talks about rugby, should I really know who this guy is?
So I knew the name just, but I didn't know anything about his achievements before he does what he has been doing for the past 8 years, which is being an assistant coach to Steve Hansen.
Who in turn was an assistant coach to Graham,
Graham Henry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think he has particularly notable achievements.
It's so weird how they go about their business, and undoubtedly it works. Well, who knows, they might have got lucky. But Graham Henry had been a head man. He'd been a successful head man. I think he won stuff with the Blues. Steve Hansen has never been a head man outside of the All Blacks, which is amazing. Mm. And I don't know, has this guy ever coached Super Rugby?
He has. So he was Chiefs for 6-7 years.
Okay.
In the about 2004 to 2010 round then.
I haven't seen a picture of him this week, but I think I know the guy because he's always in the shot sat next to Steve Hansen.
So I always think of Wayne Smith. So I know him. Who's the other assistant that you often see? Maybe it is that guy.
Yeah, I think it's that guy.
I think it is Ian Foster. Yeah. he's the other one.
So yeah, he's the guy who isn't Wayne Smith.
Yes,
exactly.
That's what I know about him.
Well done. Elsewhere, and Mark Bakewell has been, I don't know whether, was it one of those by mutual consent type things? Is it a terminated contract or whatever? However it's happened, Mark Bakewell, forwards coach at Leicester Tigers, has left the organisation.
Don't like it. Don't like it one bit. Why? Mark Bakewell's not the problem here. I mean, to think that he is deluded. It's very much like when Northampton Saints sacked Alex King. That wasn't the problem. And very much also like Northampton Saints, they need to go through the whole process of just clearing out, get rid of everyone. I know it's not nice for people that have been there for a long time. I know actually when you're talking about these things, you're all talking about people's jobs. But they just need to clear house and they need to start all over again. You can't build a coaching team bit by bit. You've got to get...
You'd think it's not a, we need to let him go and then we need to go and find someone. They've already got who's coming in. And yes. So it was a when, not an if.
But it's a nice thing. It's even worse, isn't it? Because you've got these reserve coaches of such pedigree now. Like, Mike Ford's got a real good pedigree. Say what you like about Mike Ford, he's one hell of a good coach. Then you've got Borthwick coming in with amazing pedigree. They're making a rod for their own back because they can't get rid of these people. Once they're in, if Jordan Murphy fails, you would struggle to clear out that whole coaching team. So... Unless the plan is to promote one of those guys to head coach at some point,
which doing that feels like it's got the risk of undermining Jordan Murphy's authority.
And it also means,
Borthwick does want, so Borthwick, the expectation is they'll come in after the Six Nations.
Yeah. Before, if they can get someone else, I don't know.
For England. But England they've lost quite a few.
Jumping to England, there's talk about Simon Amor being one of Eddie Jones's coaches.
Really?
Is he?
Yeah. Which is really, I mean, okay, good. Clearly he's a good guy, but I did not see that one being suggested. So, it's very interesting. Is there a Monday morning meeting at Leicester? Just quick update on that, JB.
I would be amazed if there wasn't, frankly.
There should be one every Monday morning.
Every Monday. Yeah. Every Monday, and they're all equally serious.
One former Leicester man that I bumped into this week who listens to the podcast. So, let me say hello on behalf of the three of us to Graham Rowntree.
Graham Rowntree.
Who called me over in the... it was after the game, Saracens v Munster, and I was just sort of getting my stuff together to go, and I was on the... just in between the two dressing rooms, and I heard this, Tim! and I looked over, and Graham Rowntree was sort of waving me over to him. I walked over, and he was literally right outside the Munster dressing room, there were players going, getting changed and stuff, and he was stood, he had a little bottle of Heineken, he was... one elbow propped up on a little pile of tackle pads.
Amazing pre-game.
After the game. and he just went, Tim, what the is a Negroni?
I'd love to take Graham Rowntree out for a Negroni.
Yes. You get some good stories.
Obviously, I said it's a disgusting Italian cocktail.
Yeah. Delicious Italian cocktail.
Did he shuffled you off to the dungeon?
Well, he knew that this place was called the Rugby Dungeon. He said, have fun in the dungeon.
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah,
no. Good rugby man. He's loving life in Munster as well. We'll definitely talk about that game.
Is he nicer than the doctor?
Sorry. We'll talk about that game soon. Definitely. There's lots to talk about. Really intense match. But Exeter, who, chalked up another good 5-point win today, their coaching team have extended their contracts. There's no chance of any of them. Ali Heifer was being talked about as a potential England attack coach.
Yep.
That's not going to happen before 2023 because they've all extended their contracts.
Good.
Which seems like it... So, as far as I'm aware, there's not been a formal announcement on Eddie Jones extending his contract because he's 2021 at the moment.
That's the only thing they can do as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. The assumption is it will do. I think they'd be mad to try and do anything differently. Yeah. But this might tie in quite nicely if Eddie Jones does extend to 2023. Exeter get... and this coaching team get more experience of Europe, which they're doing very well. They're doing better than they've ever done before this season, and more experience of the Premiership. So it works quite nicely for me.
It also links into Leicester Tigers scenario, right? Because England are kind of making a rod for their own backs too. They've got to have Eddie Jones or they can't have anyone else. Because for England, do you agree you need basically the world's best coaches or a world-class coach in defence and attack?
You need world-class coaches.
Yeah, because position.
Any of the top-level international teams have to have world-class coaches.
So, here's a question for you. If you're a world-class coach, do you give up a job like Exeter to go and work with Eddie Jones for 2 years if you think Eddie Jones is going to go in 2 years, no, you wouldn't. So England's only option, as far as I'm concerned, is they've got to extend Eddie Jones. Otherwise, they've got to get rid of him right now.
Just let me take it back a step. I think there's a lot more to think about. And anyone in whatever job they're in can relate to situations like this, because sometimes there is a shinier, bigger, better job, but with things like kids and where they're at school and what stage of your own life you're in and what your pension is like and whether you'd rather have something a bit more guaranteed or it's the point in your career when you want to take a risk. Are you feeling like you want to change? And it just feels like with the Exeter coaches, for example, they're all at a point where they're happy, really enjoy their job, love the guys that they're working with.
It's a nice place to live.
Great place to live, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. And I just get the feeling, I'm sure Rob Baxter, if he really wanted to flex, could have got himself an England job.
So
the England job, even.
Riddle me this one, right? I'm always confused with rugby players. If I was a rugby player, I think I'd want to live in Manchester or London. Anyone disagree with that statement?
Rome would be pretty cool.
Rome would be good.
Paris would be good.
No, I hate Paris.
Not so much Paris for me, but...
In fact, Paris is
actually,
more.
I do.
Rome I'd go for. Yeah,
South coast of France would be good.
Biarritz, you could ski and beach.
Oh yes, yeah. Some of the French clubs.
Cape Town would be very cool, though the pay is not very good.
Yeah, it can be okay, but yeah, Cape Town would be great
as long as you don't get paid in rand. You get paid in dollars.
Pay in sterling.
Dublin, London, very expensive. But
but you know, you don't care because you're a young man with loads of money.
Yeah,
and presumably when you first started, you're going to be single.
There's a lot of people on. There's a lot of people within a 3 mile radius on Tinder.
So those are ones that, but I'm amazed how much the Exeter boys love living in Exeter. They just love the whole thing, and I wonder if that breeds into their success a little bit, because there's not really that much to do in Exeter, whereas, you know, you can get into a little bit of trouble in London, you can get into a little bit of trouble in Manchester.
Yeah, they're kind of big deals, big fish in a small pond in Exeter, aren't they?
That's true.
But mind you, that doesn't always work, because look at the Welsh players.
Yeah.
I mean, the last thing you want to be is a Swansea player. Being a big deal in Swansea, it's awful.
But confirmation, by the way, we had some tweets saying, confirming that the double tap on the shoulder after you finish drink, before you put it down on the table, is indeed an Exeter University thing, which Exeter Chiefs clearly take on. So it's an Exeter only thing.
Good to see him doing his drills.
Was there another bit of news?
A very important bit of news. Get well soon, Ray Bingley.
Yes.
We did a special podcast
a private podcast.
Dedicated podcast just for Ray.
Yeah, last week.
But it was some listeners of ours got in touch and said that Ray listens, loves the podcast, but he's currently in a really, really bad way and fighting to get better. And and listening to the podcast and getting a mention might get a little bit of, might jog.
The memory will get a bit of response.
A bit of a response as he's in ICU at the moment. Yeah. So, Ray Bingley, thank you for listening. Keep fighting, fella.
Yeah. I don't believe that he ever jumped in that line out.
No.
Onto the rugby.
Yeah, well, actually, before we get onto the actual rugby, has anyone seen it? Because it ties in with something topical. Let's not hang around there too long. But everyone see a load of rugby fans piling in on Courtney Laws?
Nope.
So I saw
too busy retweeting him. Why would I be reading it?
I saw Courtney Laws' tweet. I've not then followed up on any of it.
There's been a couple of Courtney Laws.
Who cares?
There's been a few Courtney Laws tweets. Basically, Courtney Laws, do you remember when the Billy Vunipola thing happened last year?
No.
And where Billy Vunipola, you know, made his opinion felt on a topic, and people started calling Billy Vunipola homophobic, bigoted, all the rest of it. And Courtney Laws came in, and I thought a voice of reason, just to say, look.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Someone can have an opinion without being a bigot or a homophobe. Can we just, like, just...
chill out. Everyone
just,
calm down.
Just calm down.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We can all calm down now. It's all over, thank God.
Well, yeah. So, Courtney Laws, clearly, he holds it all in, but every now and again, he'll just go, no, I'm gonna say what I think. I'm going to give my opinion. And the controversial, outrageous opinion that some rugby fans, a lot of rugby fans, more than I was prepared for, a lot of rugby fans, at least on Twitter, thought was outrageous, was Courtney Laws saying he'd voted Conservative.
Just a quick one, Tim. Sorry. What have you put in my tea? Got blue specks in my tea.
That's just the night tea.
No, is it? Yeah. Outrageous.
Just some sleeping pills.
Yes. And my thought on this was, two things. Firstly, the great thing about rugby, which we always talk up as its strength, is that it's a game for every size, shape.
Yeah,
and all the changing rooms that we've played games in at amateur, semi-pro level, or whatever, in the case of me and Phil, not you.
Yeah, not me. I got expenses once.
And you played for Wales Deaf Team.
Yep.
Or international sides.
Thank you.
Whatever changing room you were in, you had a plumber next to a
solicitor,
quantity
or
surveyor,
doctor,
solicitor, yeah. Doctor, barrister,
we
whatever.
Talk age, I'll have you know.
Whatever. And that's rugby strength. However, it seems that there are a certain band of people, and this is mirrored in what's going on politically, which we're not going to get into, but that seem to think that their opinion trumps other people's and we shouldn't have diversity of opinions in rugby. Get over yourselves, basically.
Yeah. Yeah,
so anyone that piled in on Courtney Laws or said, I'm not following you anymore, or, oh, of course Courtney Laws is...
But do you know what? I'm going to be consistent here. I don't like it when players put their political views on Twitter, whether it be left-wing. I mean, obviously, because, you know, it's Conservative, I'm slightly more sympathetic. But I don't really like it either way. I don't really need to know what Courtney Laws thinks of the Conservative government.
You don't have to follow him.
No, I'm just saying. I don't like it either way. I follow them for sport. But, you know, I don't really care. And I think very dimly of the people that have bothered to, you know, message back to him.
Yes.
But he's clearly got a thick skin and he clearly gives zero...
Yes. Absolutely.
Damn it.
Is it a surprise that he supports the policy of Laws and Order?
And I would, I think my final point on that would be, I also think we need to just start ignoring rugby Twitter, because I actually think it's had a big influence on the way that the game is governed.
I have said this for ages.
The decisions that are made by clubs, by governing bodies, by management or broadcasters. Twitter has an influence there, and I think we should just ignore it, because I think if we've learned anything this week, it's
the thing is,
Twitter is just not any kind of reflection on the silent majority of...
You can't ignore it. The reason you can't ignore it is because the people on Twitter with the voice are, generally speaking, making content, usually good content, but they all think in the same way. But they're also the people that put the views of rugby to the masses. So you can't really ignore it, because they all think in the same way, they all act the same way. But you are right, it does. It is a problem for the game, because a lot of the agenda in rugby is driven by these exact voices.
My opinion was ignore them.
But you can't. You can't.
But I think, like, the in politics, for example, I think the sort of the what's the something's out the whatever.
Open some window.
No. People realise. Oh right. That's not real. That's not normal. I think we should just assume that rugby is exactly the same. Whatever's going on online, the opinions that people are giving, it's like, oh well, this is the very noisy minority of people.
I think it's right to view everything on Twitter through that lens.
Yeah,
that this is not reflective. And some things fine, you can believe it and act on it. Some things you just need to say, hang on, this is a very, very small number of noisy people who have this opinion, and we can ignore specific elements.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But there was so much good rugby. Let's just, like you say, I think you're right to... So let's focus on that.
Let's focus on Bath. We're talking
no,
about...
No, no.
good rugby.
Do you think that's the... I think Saracens Munster's the big game this weekend.
Actually, that is the big game, but I didn't watch it, so I can't really talk too much about it.
All right, well, let's talk about a game that has very little bearing on anything.
Sale Exeter. Yeah, I watched both games today. I was very ill on Friday night, so I couldn't watch the game on Friday, which I'm guessing about, because apparently it's a belter. And then me and Phil were off. We were very busy yesterday drinking.
Very busy.
But
you were at the Munster game, weren't you?
Yeah, I was working. That was interesting.
Well, let's get into the sordid details first. What do you make of the of Doctorgate?
So on 50 Minutes, there was a brawl would be massively over-egging the
pudding. They wanted to brawl, though, didn't they? Definitely wanted to brawl.
If they would have been allowed 20 years ago, they'd have brawled, for sure.
Yes. 5 years ago.
And it would have been an amazing spectacle.
Yeah.
The kind of comment that people on Twitter would call me outrageous for. I don't care anymore. 20 years ago, watching a fight like that would have been brilliant. I mean, it was still a great moment, a flare-up. It was still an interesting moment.
You can see, what's his name? Jamie George cocks his fist, pulls it back, but then, only as in a nightclub. But he wasn't.
But the best picture of the weekend was it all kicking off around a Mako Vinopola with a water bottle squirting a jet of water into his mouth. It's an amazing picture.
He's got a point, hasn't he? Because what can you do?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
Other than, like, bear hug someone.
Yeah, and then you have to wrestle him around a little bit. I just don't see the point.
Yeah, in fact, you could... Any member of... Even the weediest person, even one of us, could go and wade into that quite comfortably, knowing no harm's going to come to us. No one's going to hit me.
All these 18, 19 stone men, I'm not going
to
get hit.
I guess the worst thing that can happen to you...
Maybe that's why the doctor was so emboldened.
Yeah, exactly. The worst thing that's going to happen to you is you end up on the floor with a guy on top of you.
Yeah.
Pushing your head into the mud. Other than that, you're perfectly safe.
So it appears that the whole thing flared up when... I don't know what happened before the doctor... But possibly Jamie George kicked a ball in it.
You're allowed to say what you think he said? Because you told me what you think he said, but...
Oh, it's been put out there in various places, but no, I'm not going to...
Don't use the exact language.
I'm not going to use the exact language that has been speculated, but I also don't know if that is true or not. So it will come out in the fullness of time. But the doctor, if what we're hearing, and what Alex Anderson said on the telly, is that a comment was made about Jamie George's weight...
Where else would you start with a hooker, though?
Which he didn't take kindly to.
Okay, so mixed thoughts on this one. Number one, come on, Team Doctors shouldn't be doing this. Like, he can say something to Jamie George, by all means, a bit of gamesmanship, I'm all for that. But then if Jamie George reacts like he does, you've gone too far. So, you take it in your own hands, Jamie George reacts, fine.
Also, there is an element where we don't... You can see the words, a transcript written down, but that doesn't tell the whole story, does it? Sometimes you can say the same thing as a kind of joke.
Yeah.
And it's meant as a between friends, and you can say the same thing in anger, and it's a really nasty, horrible thing to do.
The Team Doctor should not be getting involved in this.
I agree with that.
A medical professional, yada, 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 yada.
I don't think he was offering a medical opinion.
Could have been.
It's not that unlikely that the Munster doctor, in some circumstances, will have to help out opposition players. Mm. So I'm really surprised that a doctor can be so kind of biased and partisan. I know he follows that team and he supports that team, but he just should be more professional than this.
You'll remember this, I think, Tim. I don't know if you used to do this when you were playing. Did you ever have the thing, create your own atmosphere? So, at Broughton Park, for a little while...
Sounds like the sort of mantra you would have hated.
Yeah, so
it does.
Culture. It's very culture.
Yeah, sure, at Lancaster.
So, like, at Broughton Park, for instance... we used to do these little warm-up squares, and the whole thing is like create your own atmosphere, get nice and loud, go and support each other, clap the boys out of the change room. And teams undoubtedly do this. So the benches all get very excited. They all tap each other on the arse when they're walking out.
Yeah.
And I can see why you would get wrapped up in all that. But ultimately, you're not engaging in the physical contest, which is rugby. You're just a doctor. So keep out of it. And I don't know where the line is, because I do like the idea, and I see it at Sale, to be honest. If you watch the sidelines at Sale, you can see both teams getting into each other, medical staff, physios, whoever. Usually not at the expense of the other team, but usually in a more supportive way. And I quite like that. I think that's kind of what teams do. But this guy obviously took it too far.
Yeah, he's definitely overstepped. Oh, allegedly is almost offline.
If what's being reported is how it was, and I believe EPCR have said they're going to investigate this.
What's there to investigate? Send it to the lab.
Does there need to be any discipline? I would say no.
I think it's embarrassing enough.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And this is where, going back, you know, this is the sort of thing where EPCR might have seen, or a bunch of people on Twitter have said, oh, it's outrageous, we better investigate this. We don't know the ins and outs, so maybe it is something that needs to be investigated and punished. But I'm inclined to sort of think, how stupid, that's going to be really embarrassing for the guy. And here's more's the point, it absolutely changed the game in Saracen's favour.
Yeah, because they scored the two tries after they fired them up.
Forget about the individuals, right? Just as a block of men, I don't think it's a harder team than Munster. Or like, is there a team you'd less like to get into a gang fight with than Munster?
They are hard.
They are, aren't they? Even if the individuals might not be hard. The thing which, it's like the rugby. I mean, individually they might not be brilliant, but as a collective,
Their pack, their defence. I mean, they've got big strong boys. Scannell and Farrell in the centres are big strong boys.
He's a great player.
Yeah. They are a bloody tough team.
Omani would be the archetypical Munsterman. Not massive. Bloody hard, though.
Yeah.
Bloody hard.
Too right. They missed him. He went out before the game. Actually, I saw Donnacha O'Callaghan again. He's a card and a brilliant pundit. But he brought a load of Irish newspapers over with him. And it reminded me again of something I didn't mention when I was over in Ireland a few weeks back. They're spoilt for rugby coverage.
Aren't they?
The back 2-3 pages of every newspaper, all rugby.
I tend to think that their online coverage is slightly better too, actually. There's got a lot of it. There's a lot of it. A lot of independent outlets making a load of good content. You know, I think they're very well served.
It's great. And they have radio shows dedicated to it as well. Yeah, it's brilliant. I really like it. But yeah, that moment did change the game. It was two brilliant defences cancelling each other out. Saracen's a bit flat maybe. And then...
Yeah.
And the three things that really... Well, a couple of things that really impressed me. The two Vunipola brothers and, like, Billy, that improvised offload, taking three men out of the game, like one of those rolled off his forearm and his fingers. Like, it's like, oh, beautiful.
Well, it was like a basketball type pass with three men tackling him.
Where is Marrow?
He played last week.
He played last week, yeah. He's one of the few players who played last week.
Yeah, I saw him. So why didn't they... I thought, like, they'd go full bore on this.
I mean, they picked a strong enough team to win. Strong.
And Mark McCall was making the point before the game that, you know, yes, we've got a load of internationals, but we've also got a load of academy products that are doing really well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to know how they select their teams. I'd love to know what the logic is.
Well, I think last week it was, let's put a couple of big men in to kind of glue it together, a bit of leadership and you know, kind of totems in that team. Marrow was one of them in the forwards and had one or two in the backs.
Barrett and Lazowski.
Because Barrett wasn't in this week. I think he's injured.
Jackson Ray?
Jackson Ray last week. Yep. And then this week, it was the same, but they trust Nicky Zikwe, who's been good. Ben Earl, who's been great. George Cruz came back in for Marrow, so it's kind of a...
Yeah.
They've got the depth. Last week, Will Skelton was brilliant, and he was rested as well. So I think they just trust the squad, and they understand that that's how they're going to have to manage this season.
Because actually, arguably the more important game is... Bless you. Is next week for them. If they'd have lost that, they would have been out of Europe, which would have been fine for them. Now they're still in Europe, but they've got to win the Premiership. They've got to win every game in the Premiership.
Well, there could be 15 points to the good after these next three round of games.
Can I just say, the thing that impressed me probably most watching Saracens is Owen Farrell and his leadership. That man is... Like, he's got that sort of feel of his dad, that authority.
Do you not think he's a bit grumpy?
Did you not?
You want...
Like, bearing in mind that Conor Murray was in the Munster team, Owen Farrell was in the ref's ear a lot, but he worked it really well.
It's a fine line, isn't it? It's a fine line between Dan Bigger and Owen Farrell.
Yes, I agree. But the way that he went in when they decided to go for the scrum before the try... The way that Owen Farrell just went in, just kind of, you know, chest puffed out, looked around, and went, scrum.
Scrum.
It's just like, I just looked at him and went, he is the main man.
He's what, 27?
27.
That is impressive. Yeah. This was a good performance in the end by Saracens, and it was a good performance by Munster.
It was.
To stop that Saracens team for 65 of the 80 minutes was very impressive.
I do wish, though, we could have seen a full Saracens team away at Munster.
Yeah.
I do wish we'd seen
that. We'll see it again, just not this season. Mm. Next year, you could get
maybe
that.
Maybe in a knockout game.
Potentially in a knockout game.
No. One of these two teams are going out.
Oh, yeah, of course, they're not going to win the group, are they?
Well,
yeah.
Well, no, because Munster could go to Paris and win.
It's possible, yeah.
They could go to Paris and win. So all possibilities are still open.
They could, yeah, they could meet again.
Yeah, Racing got a very surprising win.
Yeah. Hey, Ospreay's got a bonus point.
Yeah, fair enough.
They got all the tries. I think they scored one early on and then three in the last 10 minutes.
Just one little question. Let me just war game a scenario for you.
Yes, please.
You're in a match. Your team is in a pool where it's over the course of six games, determines on whether you qualify for the knockouts or not. You're 9 points down with 6 minutes to go and you have a penalty in a kickable position.
Kick it.
I would kick it. You've got to get points on the board immediately.
You've got to score twice anyway.
So you've got an opportunity to get points in 5 seconds. Yeah. So you take the points and then you've got the full 6 minutes. If you go for... And teams have made this mistake before. Australia did it a few years ago with Hooper, where they went for the try, eventually got the try, but ate up all of their time getting the one try and didn't have an opportunity to score again. Mm. So... Yeah, I would always take the points in that scenario.
Yeah, the World Cup...
Take the 1 point, get the 1 point in your little knapsack,
yeah,
and then go back for the four.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, even if it is not in a bonus point scenario.
Yeah.
Bonus points actually means it's even crazier not to. But even not in a bonus point scenario, I would still take the three.
I suppose the only argument is, if it wasn't a bonus point scenario, which this was, which I think just means that Munster just had a brain fart... But even if it wasn't in a bonus point scenario, I do see the argument of going for the jugular there because... I know, but then it doesn't really matter. You've got to score anyway.
You've got to score twice.
But the difference being you have to go from back near your own line.
I would also argue it is harder to score a drop goal than it is a try. So if you're relying on getting those final 3 points, well, they're going to have to be really disciplined. And if they're disciplined, it might keep you out. In which case, you might be looking for the drop goal. And how many drop goals are successful? Not many.
Yeah.
Well, penalty, maybe, if you keep the ball. Anyway, they should have come away with a point. Probably deserved the point.
Oh, well.
They shot themselves in the foot there. And I wonder if that will be important come the end of the pool.
Potentially. Because bonus points in that pool will be very important. Because it looks like Racing are probably going to win the pool.
Well, the thing is, they've got two bloody hard teams to play.
They host Munster and then travel to Saracens. So you'd say... If they get one win of those two, so they're 6 points ahead now. So all they need is one win.
But the thing is, with the pressure that Saracens are putting on Munster now, Munster aren't going to go there and roll over. Like, say if they were safe, if they'd beat Saracens back-to-back, they might decide to rest a few players.
And Munster have qualified more than any team in Europe for the knockouts.
Right. Mm.
So Munster will go there full bore. They could do Paris.
And they could do.
Racing come over to London and get beaten up.
Could happen.
It's possible. I still think Racing are the most likely to go through.
This is the most interesting, and exciting pool.
It is, and it was always the pool of death, particularly for Ospreys, who were just getting battered every week.
In these two double headers, and particularly this weekend, I was kind of looking at it, and in my head, I had like a sort of metaphorical in the game Guess Who, with the 20 teams. On a board, and you can just knock them down. All right, I can knock them down, knock them down.
Yeah.
And like in Exeter Chiefs pool now, it's pretty much it's done. The pool is done. Exeter are top, and everyone else knock them down.
Yeah, Glasgow, pretty much. Glasgow losing at home to La Rochelle.
La Rochelle are dangerous.
How many points are Glasgow on now?
So they're on 9 points. So they can get to 19, but it'd be tough, and it would take beating Exeter as well. Which
they've got to come to the AJ Bell.
And now Exeter's focus shifts and they're not going to let up because they want a good seeding.
Absolutely. So Exeter on 19 points, 3 out of 4 bonus point wins. Only Leinster are also on 19 points.
Yeah.
So those two, if they get bonus point wins in the next two games, guarantee an easier draw.
You get Saracens.
Well, that is the risk, isn't it?
Yeah. God, yeah.
Yeah.
But that pool is kind of taking shape. And the hail in the Exeter game, did you see that?
Yes.
How unbelievable.
God, thank God you weren't working that one.
Yeah, result. What's the worst conditions you've played in?
I played in snow. Played in snow a couple of times. Oh, yeah. I played for Broughton Park, oh, I don't know, maybe third team or something like that. Just a one-off game. I had no rugby on. I went down to see what was happening. There was a third team game. We played Sandbach, and it was hail like that, but the hail was staying on the ground, and it just never left.
Built up.
Yeah, was it hail or was it snow? It might have been sideways snow. It was awful. And going from scrum to scrum, or line out, you'd be constantly reminding the boys, don't show you cold, don't show you cold, don't show you cold. And they beat us by, I think, a couple of scores, but it's a bloody close game.
I remember watching, I think it was Sale Edinburgh up in Sale, and they had to play it on a university AstroTurf pitch because it was so cold.
Really?
Or Stirling University, something like that. They changed the venue, I can't remember, but it was like minus 15. But one of those crazy cold summers, cold winters about 5-6 years ago, or maybe more than that, whatever. But and the players, when they came off, their hair, the sweat had sort of frozen on their hair.
So
they had those silver things put around like hypothermia.
I know it's been spoken about a lot, but AJ McGinty's debut game NSI in the
minus 30.
Oh, they have to play one game a season in NSI. They usually play in Moscow. And the boys from the Craggy Island podcast went to watch it. William Davis is his name, the fella. Hey, you talk about dedicated Irish journalism. There's one right there. And he was saying that his phone was so cold, it just turned off. Like, electronic devices weren't working. So you had to warm them up, like, you know, in your trousers or whatnot.
I remember the pictures of the bench. They were sitting in the bench with, like, blankets.
That's what the Kremlin said it was.
So, AJ McGinty's debut, I think it was.
I played in Poland, and it was below minus five. It was really cold. Midwinter, it was about the 20th of December on a rugby tour. And played two games, one against Olsztyn, who were a small town team and not very good, and one against this, what was like a semi-professional team in Poland, on day, it's either day four or day five of a five-day tour, and we got absolutely hammered. It like 80-0, like not even close. But then the post match, the clubhouse was a clubhouse / gay sex fetish club.
Oh really?
So they had cages.
No.
red light, strobe lights, and dancing cages.
Sounds like the ultimate
for
rugby tour.
Amazing.
Final night.
Brilliant.
You've never told me that story.
Have I not?
No.
Wonderful. And what was the one? Oh, yeah, I mean, you could have played a game in really bad conditions, but accidentally, there was a rugby club in Greater Manchester who, before an important league game, accidentally...
Left the tap on.
Left the sprinklers on and kind of part-flooded the pitch when it froze overnight.
I wish I knew which club that was.
That sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible.
Awful.
It was just a twist of fate that the game was cancelled and that their key player, the tight head prop, was actually fit by the time the game did finally happen.
That sounds dreadful.
And
what an accident.
And the only thing that could make that worse would be the club that they were supposed to play, having travelled up from somewhere very, very far south, say Cornwall, having to come back later in the season in a relegation decider and losing.
Oh.
And getting relegated.
Well, I mean, that would be
horrendous.
Rugby journalists, that's your scandal for this week. Go do some investigative journalism
on
that.
Happened.
Yes.
No, but it didn't.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
I think I might have read that in a novel.
Yes.
Yeah. Fictional
fan fiction.
Was it Smelling of Roses, Stuart Bonds?
Oh, I wonder how. Well, I haven't looked at him on Twitter. I wonder how he's doing on Twitter.
Hope you're holding up well, Stu.
We did kind of briefly touch on the pool one before, which is Leinster's pool.
Oh, how good are they?
Leinster looked very, very good.
Oh, my word.
And they added some attacking sparkle to the power game that they had last week. And Lama. Lama's dancing
you guys
feet.
You're talking. I need to go and grab something.
Okay. Lama's dancing feet. And he's interesting watching O'Driscoll talk about that this evening. And he said, incredible attack, incredible steppiness and running ability, and beating players twice, beating seven players and one
It's like watching one individual run. It was like playing a video game.
It was.
Or something.
It was. O'Driscoll did say he's had an opportunity there and an opportunity there. He should have offloaded the ball. He's actually done it. He's done too much and he dies with the ball instead of giving. So
he does always have it under one arm, doesn't he? Yeah. He never flips it to the two hands, or very rarely. Yeah, that's interesting, actually.
So it's quite an easy coaching point as well to be looking for the support.
Yeah, once you've made the break, beaten a player.
Beating the first five, then you could look for the offload.
Maybe leave the sixth and seventh and put someone else into space.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really good. They made loads of changes. That Caelan Doris looks a player, doesn't he?
The number eight.
Because I sort of thought Max Deegan was the guy. Who's the chap that went to the World Cup, played number eight, who's now injured at the moment?
Yes.
Oh.
What is his name? Conan.
Conan. So you go, Jack Conan's. Jack Conan. That's a bit of a blow.
Yeah.
Well, Max Deegan they've got. Oh, no, Caelan Doris has been bubbling away. Yeah, he looks a player.
Yeah. And what was impressive was Ross Byrne.
Is this the guy, he's
going to
be very, very good, young lad?
No, but
10.
No, his younger brother's apparently meant to be the bomb.
Yeah, apparently his younger brother is going to be future Ireland 10 for a long, long time.
But Byrne, who came on for the injured Sexton last week for the last 30, 35 minutes or so, looked great last week and again looks really, really good, bossing it from 10. Yeah. Really impressive. I mean, it does help when you've got that pack giving you that foundation.
Did James Lowe and Jameson Gibson-Park qualify before Six Nations?
Not as far as I'm aware. I'm not sure.
I think Gibson-Park might
do.
I don't know about James Lowe, but he's good, isn't he?
Lowe is a bloody good player.
Dense. Yes, he is.
He's big hips, big powerful hips. Yeah, he's a good, strong runner.
So obviously they have actually qualified.
They've already qualified because Northampton can catch them, but because they've beaten Northampton twice, so they could level with them. Northampton,
they're probably going to be top seed.
But Leinster, there's a few teams who are really looking like they are going to be dominant forces, and with Saracens not quite being there, it's going to be very interesting. So the big teams. Leinster look incredible. Clermont, we can get onto Clermont in a minute.
Toulouse.
Yeah. And Racing. And Racing, I think.
Brilliant.
Toulouse. So this wasn't actually Toulouse's best performance from what I've seen. They scored some awesome tries, but made.
That Untermat try, a flowing move.
So French, isn't it?
They scored two very easy tries, or two gift tries from.
Overthrows. No.
There's the intercept that Bismarck Duplessis, and there's one other, I can't remember what it was. The Montpellier 10 slipping up on his own try line, not reacting, and just a quick line out. Rory Arnold just coasts in. So yeah, this wasn't the best performance by Toulouse, but they are in a good place this year.
Tell you the player that I love to watch because he's just so up and down, and he's capable of amazing stuff. Is Gatoun at Toulouse? I watched him in the World Cup. We watched him live in the flesh, didn't we?
Against USA.
Oh my God, he was Fukuoka. But that actually makes him better in a way.
He's so fast,
and he can just. I think that's why he gets away with so much stuff.
Yeah,
between him and Aki, they're just so talented.
Yeah,
when it comes off, and when it doesn't come off, it's even better.
Better to watch.
Yeah,
yeah. So those teams, I think, are really looking impressive, and unless Saracen pull a rabbit out of the hat. Which I don't think they will in Europe this year, subject to how the quarters line up. Those are the four semi-finalists for me: Leinster, Racing, Toulouse, and Clermont.
I think Saracens will have to win away from home if they make it. Wouldn't it be the most incredible story if Saracens go deep in the competition?
It would be. Another incredible story would be Exeter.
Yeah.
Because I am doing them a disservice to not compare them to those other European giants.
Well, the problem that they've got is they just haven't done it yet against a European giant.
Yeah.
Whereas all the others have got a battle-hardened history.
They've had moments like their Exeter's winning Montpellier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Montpellier...
When they beat Clermont at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
To qualify.
Yeah.
Then they lost away at Toulon, didn't they? Yeah.
But extra chugging along. But it's the French sides and the Irish provinces, and for the Premiership, it is not. not going particularly well. I think Northampton will qualify as a runner-up.
Well, yeah, because they should. Now they've got Leinster out of the way, they should get probably two bonus point wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great for the English clubs at the moment, but ultimately there's going to be two pools where two English clubs beat each other up, and there's going to be a huge differential between the bottom and the top team, basically what you saw with Sale and Exeter this week. And then that other pool, it makes it look a lot worse, just because those two English teams are bloody bad, actually. They're just bad teams.
Quinns
are better than Bath.
Quinns didn't have a great game this week. I mean, they totally changed up their team. Tim, you were working there.
Let's talk about Quinns Ulster, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't fall out with Gaston, did you?
No, I think he was understandably frustrated at the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so, but no, he always answers his. He always fronts up and answers the questions. But I did have to kind of ask some probably questions that, well, he wouldn't have wanted to be in a position to have to answer questions like, is there a confidence issue in this side when you look at the form since March? Overall,
what is the form since March? Because,
well, don't you remember they were in the top two, weren't they?
Yeah,
they were in second spot. If you look since March, it's fallen off a cliff. Yeah, they've won 25% of their games in the Premiership and 25% of their games in Europe.
Who did Gustav bring with him when he went to Quinns? Do you know? Did he bring anyone?
Don't know.
Coddling, but obviously he's gone.
I don't think it matters because it's the same. It's the same lot. It's just if you look at the calendar year. The calendar year for Quinns has been a horror show.
Yep.
Yeah.
And right, so if I said to you, how do Exeter play? How do Toulouse play? How do Leinster play? How do any of these teams, how do they play? Oh. You could sort of, in a sentence, give an answer.
Yeah.
Couldn't you? Exeter, power game, territory, and when they get close to the line, they just relentless. They're a possession team.
And they often turn down points as well.
Turn down,
because they back themselves to go for the corner and convert.
And they're a possession team, whereas you'd go Munster are a massive defence team. They're
big gnarly pack.
Yeah,
big gnarly. Good set piece.
They're quite happy without the ball.
Yeah.
And then they're developing their game with Stephen Larkham as the attack coach. So you could describe it all. Harlequins, I don't know how to describe the way they play.
Oh, I mean badly. Yeah. that's where you go. For. I mean they mix and match those wings every week. They don't seem to have much consistency with selection.
But I can't work out.
The selection's all over the place.
Yeah.
I can't work out.
Are they trying to be Saracens? Or are they trying to
what type of game they're trying to play?
I think they've got an identity issue. I think what's his face? Gustav wants to basically be another Saracens without finding. I mean, they need to be Quinns, and that is an issue. You're right about the confidence, and they seem to be a bit soft. Not soft, but they seem to give up. You can almost imagine being a Quinns player when you get in that situation where you're winning or you're in a position to win, but you don't believe you're going to win. And inevitably, you will ship those points. You're just waiting for it to come crashing down.
And that's what happened in this game when Ulster scored. So it wasn't a great first half, but Quinns were well in the fight.
Oh, they were the better team in the first half.
Yeah, they were the better team, actually. But then as Ulster get that breakaway try from their own 22, superb try, finished well by Cooney. Fadders and
who else?
Fadders and Stockers and Billy Burns, who had a bloody tough night. Did Billy Burns?
How he stayed on the field?
I could not believe.
He's so small as well, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's so small.
There's nothing of him. When
he's like he made Jermaine Jenness if he worked out.
he made
Jenness the man that managed to make that Kappa Tottenham shirt look like a baggy shirt,
the skin tight shirt. He had cable ties on the arm.
Pathetic.
That try sparked Ulster into life, but actually probably confirmed Harlequins in their own mind, their doom.
Yeah.
It just confirmed what they were already thinking.
Oh, we're going to lose it at some point anyway.
Yeah.
Throw it away.
And what was it on the selection? What was it Paul Gustard said to the press after the game? He, you know, defending the decision. He said it's not an issue. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Kind of defensive pointing out, for example, Landajo's got 80 something caps for Argentina. There's no difference. It's irrelevant.
It is a difference.
But it is a difference.
Yeah, of course, it's a difference.
Yeah, Brett Herron is a different. Like he
Brett Herron is not Marcus Smith.
Yeah,
no.
And there's no. I understand saying if you'd said, yes, we've got to have half an eye on the league because it's looking dicey to qualify in Europe.
Yeah.
I guess it just people are going to ask those questions if you say, "No, we're going for it. We're trying to qualify. We're putting out the best team we
but
can."
Don't
to qualify.
They have to say that? I mean, like legally, they have to say it.
I don't think they do.
No, because there's a regulation for ERPC which says you've got to put out your strongest team. So do you remember when Saracens we were kind of speculating what Saracens going to do with their players? They were automatically referred to ERPC or whatever the hell they are. Yeah, thank you, Tim. So they were already being looked at for not fielding the strongest team.
But then what happened to Saracens last week? Because that definitely wasn't their strongest team.
I don't know. It's one of those things to make sure that the competition remains relevant. You've always got to field your strongest team. That is a regulation.
And that's a subjective measure anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's to make sure people don't really, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see how Saracens got around it last week. If that is a regulation. And if it's enforced, then how did Saracens get around it last week?
Who knows?
But yeah, there's issues at Quinns. I can't.
They do spend a lot of time doing stupid stuff, don't they? Like,
what do you mean?
Well, like flying Apaches into the training ground, or you know, getting a bear statue carved, or you know, just
was that actually a thing? Did we get to talk about that?
They did have a bear. They had a stuffed bear, didn't they, or some kind of bear?
I think so.
I don't know if that was rumor or not. I don't know.
A man in a bear costume.
They definitely had Apache attack.
Yeah, they definitely had that.
Fly in to the training base, but it's very cool.
That's a Saracens kind of thing to do. It would strike me.
Yeah, that's fine if you're Saracens.
If you're Saracens,
you know, if your lineouts are on point for this week, by all means, play with the Apaches. Right? If they're not, keep the helicopters away. That's what I would say.
Yeah,
but they do all sorts of stuff like that.
But this was a very good win for Ulster. Yeah. Quinns didn't. They played better in the first half. They didn't play well at all in the second half. But Ulster did, and Ulster their backline sparked, and they exploited that poor Quinns performance.
I've just thought of something. Sorry, this is changing it completely. Do you mind if I just change the
subject
completely?
Talk about my beloved Ulster.
Yeah, in a minute, Phil, right? So I was flicking through Twitter today. And and amazingly, Mark Flanagan, who used to do a podcast from down here, he's a player for Salford Red Devils, or whatever they're called now. Salford City Reds, thank you very much. Linked in to a programme on Channel 4, and it's about a comedian whose lifelong goal was to be a professional rugby league player. So I don't know who this guy is, got about half a million Twitter followers. And he's gone to train full-time rugby league for a programme. And I can't remember, I think it's called Take the Legs or something. So it's not quite what we talk about, but that's a fascinating that's a fascinating concept.
What sparked that? Yeah, it is. Well, what does that relate?
Just because Quinns are doing weird things.
Oh, okay.
That'd be super Quinnsy to have a comedian on staff.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got 15, but, you know, having an extra comedian.
So I loved when they brought in Sean Dyche.
Oh, yeah, that's another
that
one.
That was bloody good because of
James Chisholm.
Yeah. I wonder how good I could get at rugby if I had 2 weeks full... Or what difference
it would make?
2 weeks full-time training with a professional outfit. Probably not at all.
Yeah, 2 weeks. You'd need a few years, probably.
No, you'd see an improvement, I'd
say. Oh, you'd see an improvement.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to start for sale. I'm just saying, how much better would I be after...
Yeah, you'd be better if you tactically pretended you had a pulled hamstring on the Tuesday contact session.
Yes.
Get the hell out of...
Yeah.
Get the hell out of Dodge then.
I'd definitely do the whole thing. I'd do the whole thing. And also, the...
Can you imagine what it's like being hit by someone who can run 100 metres in 11 seconds and deadlift 300 Ks?
You know, you always think there's nowhere to escape, is there? Like, you know, at level 8, you could be stronger than someone, you could be faster than someone, you can escape. You can't escape. You can't escape their worst player on their worst day.
You're going to get smashed.
Yeah. Hit the deck, present long, get back up.
Fetal position.
Yeah, pass the ball. Yeah. I'll do a week at sale, and I'll get that.
I'd love to see that, actually.
Who would you like to see do a week in a rugby club?
Celeb.
Yeah. I'm a celebrity. Literally, get me out of here.
Anyone that is regarded... I don't really watch much football now, so I don't know who is regarded as a football hard man, but whoever is regarded as a football's
Wise.
Hard man, I'd like to see... Yeah, I'd like to see them there. Roy Keane.
Yeah. Roy Keane, yeah. I'd quite like that. I actually, thinking about it now, I do not think you'd get better, because if I joined Saracens today, they wouldn't be doing much fitness. They wouldn't be doing much lifting. They'd be in game mode, and they'd just be run-throughs, and you'd look hopelessly out of place.
Yeah.
You wouldn't earn a thing, probably. Because you're not doing drills, are you?
Yeah. The handling drills, like the warm-up drills, is probably where you'd get.
Yeah,
you'd when they're warming up, that's probably your biggest learning opportunity.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of standing around in professional rugby, too.
Loads of standing around.
Because the first team are working, so shut your mouth and watch.
Yeah.
Dan McFarlane's impressing me more and more and more. And I was actually most impressed by him. He's clearly very, very comfortable in his skin in season number two. He's got a good thing going. Mm. Clearly, you can see from the results that Ulster are grinding out wins, even when they're not playing brilliantly.
Yeah.
That's an indication of a team that's really together.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't know if you saw him in the pre-match interview I did with him.
Yes,
so my question was, so last week you mentioned, Dan, that you were inconsistent.
Yeah.
And that things needed to improve. So what are you hoping for? And he said, consistency. He could have quite legitimately left me hanging, and it would have been hilarious.
I thought he was going to, because
he took a beat.
A pregnant pause there.
There was a pregnant pause there, and I was smiling at the time. I smiled and thought, oh, you've done me there brilliantly. And he went on and changed it. But I just think...
What's your immediate follow-up? Do you go with... tell me more about that.
I was thinking... Your mind works about 1,000 miles an hour. I probably would have gone, I deserve that. And yeah, tell me more.
Next question.
The worst one is in the press room, and a journalist starts asking questions, but he asks it in such a long-winded, rambling way. You don't actually know what the... It ends up as a statement, and then with a question mark at the end, which is the worst.
Yeah, almost showing off their own...
Yeah,
opinion, or that they know something, which is not the point of that's not the job.
I think they get lost. I think they want to ask something, but they don't. Just ask the damn question. What is it that you want to ask?
They try and put too much context.
Yeah.
Tim, I've just noticed you must have been working bloody hard this weekend. The thumb on your mic hand's cut.
Wow.
That's
erosion.
That's from doing clean. That's from doing cleans.
What with a mic?
You've got to be in good shape to hold those mics.
No, that's one thing. Paul Gustav clocked that. He's obviously a man who lifts. He went
CrossFit. You've
been lifting.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, pretty. I was just working on my pathetic cleans. And he went, oh, deadlift and back's all you need. Deadlift and back. No. He said bench and back. Just do bench and back.
Just some beach weights.
We might be getting to the nub of Harlequin's problems here.
He's a big bloke, Gustav.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he's more like athletic. I thought he was like more cycly type.
Well, he was a flanker, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, but I thought he did that thing. Do you like some players get lean and?
No, I reckon he's.
He's still. Yeah. No, he's leaner than when he was playing.
So,
but
if there was a DOR, if it all kicked off like Royal Rumble DOR, I think he'd be close to
top dog.
Top dog.
I reckon.
Dai Young is.
Steve Dan's winning the thing.
No one's getting Dai Young over the top rope.
That's a good point. So Tok H, one of our coaches, used to play at Saracens, also used to play at Wasps, tight head prop, same intake as David Flatman in the Saracens academy. Oh. What shape do you think he's in now?
Oh, some of the props, like Roundtree's lost a load of weight, hasn't he? Phil Vickery lost a load of weight. Is he what, something like 14 stone?
Yeah, exactly right. Is 14 stone personal trainer. You'd never ever guess that he played top level professional rugby at tight head prop. You'd never guess. He's in great shape.
So I was chatting to our new HC, we call it, Human Resources.
Oh, they need to talk to you again about your conduct.
No. I'm talking
Christmas
to the
party. Oh, Phil, Christmas party again.
But it's podcast.
I just had a few Negronis before the Christmas party. I was talking to her, so I didn't know her background. And she said she used to be a professional shot putter. And she said she used to be 20 stone. I was like, bloody hell, I simply could not believe. She's quite I'd be very careful what I say here. She's a slim woman, but you could tell she's got quite broad shoulders. But yeah, when she said I used to be 20 stone, I was like, wow.
That's amazing, isn't it?
That is impressive.
There you go.
Yes.
And there's the odd player that goes the other way, Serge Blanco and...
Yes.
And they're like,
yeah, Serge Blanco. Yeah,
who is the most? No, that's a cool one. We'll.
No. If you had unlimited access to foie gras and cheese
and the good wine,
and wine,
red wine,
we'll talk about players that let themselves go off mic, shall we?
There's one who's not a rugby player, a footballer.
Who Maradona.
I saw again. Maradona's a good one. Neville Southall.
Oh, my word. So, do you want to say
he's in unbelievable
interesting
shape.
About Neville Southall? This will blow your mind, though.
Go on.
Neville Southall is from Llandudno, where I'm from. Were you aware of that?
I think I knew he was North Whalian, yeah.
Does he know your old man?
He does know my dad. Do you know why he knows my dad?
I do now.
Your dad's his financial advisor?
No, my dad is not his financial advisor. I mean, he might have been at some point, but he's not. My dad races pigeons, and Neville Southall loves pigeons and used to come round and watch pigeons. And now he's a hardcore Labour Party activist. So, yeah, Neville Southall used to be around, let's say, a couple of, you know, quite often, and that's when he's playing for Everton.
Pigeon fancier.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Neville Southall's a pigeon fancier. His brother-in-law at the time was my dad's pigeon partner. So there you go.
My
look very northern working class.
That's great.
There.
That's like Johnny May, mum's an author.
Yeah.
No. Nick Kennedy.
Nick Kennedy's mum's an author.
Mum's an author.
My mum used to babysit. Since we're talking about footballers from Liverpool, my mum used to babysit Mark Lawrence. He's from Penwitham.
Mark really?
Lawrence. Mark Lawrence. Mark Lawrence.
There we go. Famous connections everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't have any connections to any football.
None?
No. I used to... No, when I used to go to... Someone in Portsmouth, some family in Portsmouth that I used to stay with, used to have a Portsmouth player, young player... I think went on to do quite well. I don't know what player he is.
Brilliant.
Staying in there. Doesn't matter. It's not as good as
Primus.
I was trying to join in. I don't really have one.
You feel left out now, Tim.
Yeah, I'm
sorry,
fine.
Sorry, Tim.
You're hobnobbing it with rugby royalty.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
You don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, speaking of which, what else we've got on the agenda?
So, the pools that we've not really touched on, the games that we've not touched on, Gloucester's game.
Well, we should just mention Ulster as well. Sorry, before we move off that. Because Quinn's, like you say, a good first half.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look now and say strange selection. If they were going for the win, you can understand.
Yeah,
you can understand the selection.
I'm fine with it.
You've got to be able to trust your squad, and they are spinning several different plates.
Yeah, but Ulster,
and
in particular John Cooney, who has just been different gravy this season. He's been so good. Four tries in four games.
Five in four.
Is it five in four?
He's got two on Friday.
Yeah, two in this game.
He's scored in every game.
Yeah.
I only ever hear good things about John Cooney.
And he takes a lot of the headlines because his kicking is very good as well. Mm-hmm. Like, the pressure on him to win the game last week was immense.
How much money do you think Claremont are eventually going to throw at John Cooney? It's going to be a lot.
He's a French petit general. Yeah, but he's rapid and quick and like pops up in the right place. How much do you think, because I can imagine he must have been absolutely devastated to miss out on the World Cup.
Yeah.
Do you think this is an example of someone dealing with that disappointment, channeling it into a really big pre-season and saying, rolling the sleeves up, going, I'm going to show you?
I think there's an element of that. Yeah, definitely. There's an extended pre-season, and those who will have wanted to make the most of it will have done. So I think there's an element of that. I think there's an element of him just getting used to the team around him.
Mm. So they are growing as a bunch, aren't they? Second year
at
Dunfermline, and a good first 15, regardless of what's below the surface. Good first 15. And actually, they don't seem that bad below the surface.
But getting used to Billy Burns, getting used to McFarland, getting used to Kurtzier, who's back in the squad. The pack's looking better. The front row's looking better. There's some depth and options for the front row. So the whole squad is looking better. And Cooney... He's just, he's getting more accustomed to the way that team plays. And Billy Burns, we said it before, I was absolutely astonished that he didn't go off after 30 seconds when Dom Brandt ploughed through
him. Half.
Yeah, he looked in serious pain. And for the first 10 minutes, he was struggling. I really thought he was going to go off. But then after that, he made the break for that first Cooney try. Mm. And he was, because the first 10 minutes he was... His arm wasn't right, so he was taking everything a few yards further back to give himself a bit more time to get the pass in and not taking anything to the line, which is one of the things he does best. And that after that, he grew into the game and took everything to the line. He impressed me, particularly second half.
Hmm. Can they win the thing?
No.
Can they get semis?
So they can get semis if they get a home semi-final, a home quarter-final. If they don't get a home quarter-final, they won't make it out there. They've got to be at home to win that quarterfinal, and that's the problem, because it means they've got to go to Clermont and win. So Clermont have lost a game, but because they've picked up bonus points, they are only 1 point behind Ulster.
Yeah.
So Ulster basically have to win in Clermont to make it out of the quarterfinals, which is not going to happen.
Right. Clermont destroyed Bath today. Yeah. So first things first, what are Bath doing dressing up like Clermont's against Clermont?
I know, that was weird.
What on earth are you thinking?
That was weird.
That's their European kit.
Wear a different one. Like, wear your kit.
But yeah, Clermont in yellow and Bath in their home strip is a beautiful. It's awesome. That's how European rugby should be.
The psychopaths that come up with these with these kit clashes. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But okay, fine, that happened.
Yeah. Well, European kits generally just need to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of bad.
There's only one European kit of note. Well, recently, I'd say, which has been decent, and that Sale Sharks white one. It was gorgeous. Everything else.
Is Saracens red one Europe? Or did they have a blue one a couple of years ago?
They had a blue one. Yeah.
Rubbish.
Yeah, that was rubbish. It was an okay kit, but it's just plain red or black.
By the way, Leinster, do you remember their purple kit? Horrific.
Well, Exeter's lilac kit is horrific.
Yeah, that's different, isn't it?
Harlequins.
Yeah. I mean, just... I'm okay with Exeter wearing disgusting kits. It's part of their makeup, though. But everyone else, no. I mean, the Leinster one, the marketing bump to go with it was something like, it's the hue of the electric hue of the city on a match
day. Yeah, that's right.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Grow up.
But Clermont in that first 20 minutes, they were, well, the whole game, but that first 20 minutes, the bonus point after 20 minutes.
Oh, Bath were pathetic. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I don't care about your availabilities, don't care about your injuries, don't care about any of that. There was no heart there. They're badly led. They look like they're not particularly well coached. Just the whole thing's an absolute shambles. Bath as a city deserves better than that product that they're putting out. It's not good enough to say, yeah, well, Stuart Hooper's going to need time.
We talked about this loads last week, but
they got battered again.
I maintain they've got bigger issues, more fundamental, and you can't pin it on a guy, just one person. Like, I'll take him out, put someone else in, and it'll all be solved. Rubbish.
Well, they built it wrong. I mean, it's not his fault. I'm with you on that. I think
maybe maybe yeah, yeah. They're in a pickle.
Yeah, it's definitely not just his fault. I mean, he is globally significant, but it's not. I'm with that. But the end result is not good enough. I can't understand why any Bath fan would settle for what they put out today. It was ridiculous.
It was not good.
No,
their rolling maul tries they took quite well. I'm looking for positives here for Bath, and that's a foundation to be able to go and do that. Score a couple of rolling maul tries in Clermont against that pack. They're going to need that in the league.
And the caveat that there's a lot of players still injured, unavailable to them.
Everyone has that. At some point, you've got to say, yeah, that's no longer an excuse, is it?
No, I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm just saying that there is a... If and when Bath ever get the majority of their players available again, then I think we can give them we can judge them properly. Anthony Watson's off the radar again.
But injuries are part of the game.
The way you construct your squad. And the way you construct your squad is important, and I get that. And this is kind of...
That's exactly why it's not all Stuart Hooper's fault.
Yeah, because he did not construct that squad.
Yeah, he did not construct that squad. Quite. So, absolutely.
I mean, there are question marks over who did construct that squad, but...
Yes.
It wasn't Hooper.
I guess the upshot of it is... It's going to make the Leicester Bath derby competitive, which is nice. It's nice to think of the fans.
Relegation ball.
Yeah, are they 1-2 for relegation?
Saracens,
of course.
Yeah, Saracens, Quins.
Sure, it's like Quins, Bath and Leicester.
Wasps down there.
Yeah, I mean, doing a rugby podcast, I should really know these things.
It's Wasps and Leicester.
It is Saracens on -18, Leicester on 4, Wasps on 5, Bath on 8, Quins on 10.
Wow. Big clubs there.
And then Gloucester only on 11 points.
And Gloucester, pardon my French, shat the bed.
Oh, my God. There's 4 minutes left on the clock. You're 11 points up. How do you snatch defeat from the jaws of victory there? And fair play to Connacht.
It's a difficult one for Gloucester because I do think they're going broadly the right direction.
They are, but there's been some... there's been some odd results
couple,
this season.
Last couple of months.
Yeah.
They've just not put... It's got a hint of Quinns about it.
Well, it's got a hint of... No, I'll tell you what it's got. It's got a hint of classic Gloucester the last 5 years, which appeared they'd really turned a corner and it was different.
I thought this could be their year. I really thought it. For the first few weeks, I thought it... Don't know too many players for the World Cup. Love Ackerman. They've got big, powerful pack. Cipriani pulling the strings. And then it's just...
Not really happened, has it?
They've got talented outside backs. Thorley and Lewis Rees-Zammit, who's rapid, and that offload
and
was
the ball
incredible.
They've got. I mean, when, you know, when Freddie Clark doesn't really get near your starting team...
Pelletri's not been starting.
Yeah.
But brilliant.
We've talked before about Cipriani. Is there something going on in the background concerning his future and him and, you know, the disappointment of the World Cup? There might be a hangover from that or a consequence of that. But the other one is Willie Hines. Massive.
You're right. He was very important for them last year.
Do you know Simpson was on a 1 year deal there?
Was he?
Yeah. Well, he's literally just signed an extension.
Okay. So they brought him in on 1 year.
That's a weird. So,
Well, he's 31, isn't he?
And that's okay.
I'd want a 2 year deal. Surely. I mean,
of course, he'd want a 2 year deal. But
I'm sure someone would. I mean, he's a bloody good player. And Gloucester soon showed out for that. Second year.
That's arguably that's a good way to do it then.
Don't know. There was
speculation. It seems to have worked for him.
Yeah. But if he got injured, it wouldn't work for him.
It would not work for him.
It wouldn't work for him. But I'm sure he had. I would probably suggest he didn't have loads of different choices.
So there was speculation. Remember when James Haskell was looking for a club and he only signed with Northampton very, very late on in the day?
Yeah.
There's speculation that he might set out, and this did not come from him, I'm sure. Or it might have, I don't know. But keep match fit, and then midway through the season, when someone needs injury cover.
Medical joker.
Yeah, because allegedly this is a thing in the NFL. If you sit out and you're fit, but you're not on a team, but you're a veteran player, you're 33 years old, you might not last a season, but coming into that playoff stretch, maybe you need that old head. I guess like... kind of Blair Cowan did.
Andy Goode.
Andy Goode, just keep fit, and then you can make a load of money for less games later on in the season.
Keep fit.
Yeah, okay. Keep effective.
Keep
very effective.
Yeah, keep sharp. Yeah. Did anyone else think it was weird that Robin Copeland came off the bench wearing number 23?
No, I never thought
like,
that.
Why is that winger got strike? Because he scored his try, the winning try, when he was running in the 13 channel. I was like, why the hell did that winger got tape round his head and tape on his thighs? So I looked up who 23 is. Oh, Robin Copeland. Why is he wearing number 23?
French teams do that, don't they?
They normally do their reserve tight head prop.
That's right.
As 23. Well, certainly some teams do that.
Because the extra front row...
Yeah, it was 22.
That was added as the seventh replacement. They just made that number 23.
So correct, yes.
So it was 16-17, 23.
I just no idea why. There might have been something in comms about it, but
maybe it was like, you know, there was I know clubs I've played at before, they sort of get a assortment of shirts and might just be the one that's the right size.
I literally have no idea what the sub numbers are. No idea.
What?
16 hooker, 17 loose head, 18 tight head, 19 second row slash back row, 20 second maybe row, row, more likely back row.
Yeah.
21 scrum half.
I know 21 scrum half.
22 utility back / fly half. Yeah. 23 outside back.
Unless you're going on a
never six. In a million years know that.
What?
I just don't know it. I've never even deemed it important, frankly.
Okay. I'm surprised
that subs even have numbers.
Just bring on.
Yeah.
Bring on the next one.
Yeah. Just
bring on the next concussion boy.
Get me a concussion boy. We need to save the starting hooker for another time.
I'm a bit nerdy looking at 6-2 splits and all the rest. So it was a 6-2 split. It's just, so they had two back rows on the bench. Just one of them happened to be wearing 23 rather than 21.
I'm a big
21.
Big believer in the 6-2. I'd probably go 7-1 if I...
7-1. Who's your one? So you've got to have a utility back that can play every position.
Well, you see, and you're right. That's a good question, because when they used to be four, probably when you played like National One...
Yeah, we would.
There was four replacements, and that's why it was quite. I used to get more game time because I could go front back row and hooker.
Yeah, so exactly what I did. I basically played whatever position there wasn't anyone there.
Well, you do play pretty much any position.
But yeah, if you had to have one back, just one back, someone that can do it. Henry Slade.
Slade would be good. Alex Good.
Ntamack.
Ntamack would
you
be good,
you want someone
actually.
Who can play scrum half and fly half. Cooney can, is your boy there. Yeah. As is AJ.
Yeah. Laidlaw.
Reese Webb.
Para.
But you don't really want AJ stuck in an outside channel, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
Or is there a forward that you could have as your seventh player who could also do a job as an auxiliary back
in the day?
Someone like Sam Skinner. Oh, Bottier.
Bottier would be...
Yeah.
Bottier's a good idea.
That's a great shout.
Does Yorto do a bit of that? Good between back row and centre.
There was... I'm trying to think. There was a player who plays for a French team who's normally a back row, who started on the wing. I want to say it was the Stade Francais flanker, not Yato playing for Clermont. Honest answer is I don't know, but Yato would be pretty dangerous in the outside channel.
Yes. Yes, he would be.
He's pretty dangerous wherever he is.
Yeah.
It used to be, also, at the same time it was four subs, was the time when there was loads of people transferring their number eight to be wingers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everyone did that. Oh, well, talking of flexible players, Sale had three different players throw into the lineup, which is very, very rare.
Did they?
Yep. Can you name them?
Cam Neil.
Yep.
Cam Neil and Langdon and whoever the guy that came on.
Acker? Was it Acker?
Yeah, Cam had one lineup throw and was removed immediately, which is a shame.
Is there any team in top flight rugby, because there's no law that says the hooker has to throw in, is there any team that has like a flanker throwing in? Because I remember France used to do that in the 80s.
Not a flanker. Wingers used to throw in.
I've played...
Pierre Berbizier, the French scrum half, used to throw in at the line-out. I'm pretty sure.
It is one of those mysteries why you don't get the best thrower to throw in, rather than...
hooker. Because hooker is generally the shortest player. Not always these days, but historically. Shortest forward.
Now the criteria for throwing the ball in is that you stand in the middle of the scrum. Yeah. So therefore you must be able to throw it.
The great days of rugby when you'd have a 6'8" Australian lock kicking sticks.
Yeah.
And
it was better in our day.
And a 5'6" French scrum half thrown in at the lineup.
I played for most of the season just because of injuries where our starting hooker played most of the season at six, but was still throwing in with six on his back because the replacement hooker was a better scrimmager. So he packed down at six.
I guess the more weird scenario is not back rows that can throw in, because they're fairly, you can find them. Throwing in is dead easy. So, for instance, Cam Neil went from back row, hooker today threw in. It's finding hookers that can jump. Because in reality, when you're running a line-out, you need two jumping back row, two jumping locks. Ideally, you need three jumping back row. So you couldn't really have Acker van der Merwe on the flank, as good as he is, as amazing as he'd be as a flanker, because he's got to jump.
Jamie George is not jumping. Those short arms going
Tom
nowhere.
Dunn probably isn't jumping.
Yeah.
Very few of them can jump. Cam probably could.
Who? Sorry?
Cam Neild probably could.
Because he played back row. Even Thacker, who's probably light, he's light enough to be lifted, and he's explosive. Short and short arms.
Yeah, and dense.
Yeah, very
incredibly dense.
Very muscular. Yeah.
There we go. Ponder that one.
Any other games to talk about this week?
Bristol won away, which I quite like. I know.
Be better, and then you get talked about.
But they are getting better. I mean,
be better, and then you get talked about in context of European results. Because
Benetton won.
Benetton beat
Benetton. Leon.
And I think that's it.
That's kind of it for the Champions Cup.
Glasgow, we kind of touched on it, but Glasgow, what are you doing? There's two things about this. One, so they scored after about 15 minutes and then did nothing until the 80th minute when they scored a try, but Matt Fagerson ran into Danny Priso with a leading forearm elbow, and it got called back, and Wayne Brown's probably correctly in line with the laws. Sent him off and disallowed the try. So Glasgow losing at home to a team who were basically out of the competition.
Big result.
That is not good for Glasgow.
Yep, that is not good. So I'm quite excited.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, very excited.
Yeah?
We've got 3 weeks of Premiership, back to back. My favourite competition, including internationals.
It's the most rugbyest time of the year.
Indeed.
And this is a really important period because it you will start to see the table taking shape. And you could actually see in 3 weeks' time, Saracens could be 7 points behind Leicester, 8 points behind Wasps. It's possible.
They're coming.
They are coming.
Well, are Tigers going to pick up a win in the next three?
Well, let's look at this. Let's look at this weekend. Just go through that. So Friday night, the live game on BT Sport is Gloucester against Worcester.
I can genuinely see Worcester winning this.
Gloucester have got to correct.
Gloucester will be favourites, but I honestly see Worcester showing up. They've had two weeks off, effectively. Gloucester have been in some hard games, some heartbreaking games too.
Yeah.
Worcester are good. Worcester are really, really good.
You calling a Worcester win this weekend?
Not brave enough. I think Gloucester will do it by three.
Yeah, I think Gloucester will win.
I think Gloucester will win. Yeah.
By the way, Leinster against Ulster, it's the inter-province matches over this period. That'll be a big one.
Oh, yeah, well, the 1847 Cup as well.
Yeah.
Yep. So the IRFU welfare policy means that one of these games has to be thrown, basically. I say thrown. That's when the welfare policy kicks in. So this is one of the great shames of rugby. It could land on a Leinster-Munster game. So everyone goes home to Ireland to watch their beloved Leinster-Munster. It sells out. And probably, being honest, probably one of the best club rugby occasions on the planet.
Yeah.
And yet, the welfare policy could well ruin it. I don't know what the selections are yet, but they will basically throw one of those games.
You would imagine, if you were being sensible, Ulster would rotate for this game. Leinster can still rotate, and they'll have a great team anyway.
They will, yeah.
It doesn't really matter too much.
When you've got 50 internationals in your squad.
Yeah. But it's just weird that they throw that one, and the welfare policy doesn't say, actually, rest them against Zebra.
Yeah.
Or Cheetahs.
Dragons.
Yeah.
So, Saturday games?
Yeah, 4:00-3:00 PM kickoffs. The live game is at Welford Road, where Leicester host Exeter.
Can anyone see Leicester getting a point out of that?
Who are they playing?
Exeter.
No, I don't. No, I do not see them getting even a losing bonus point.
At home to Exeter. No, I think this is going to be 4 or 5 to 0 Exeter.
League points.
I think Exeter will win.
Sale host Northampton.
Sale Saints.
Sale host Northampton. I mean, Northampton have been on some bruising results, but they're also flipping good at rugby.
They are good.
I think they've got the brand of rugby that could trouble Sale.
Conditions won't be great, you would imagine.
Yeah. AJ Bell's a perfect pitch.
Perfect pitch. Might be a bit windy, a bit wet.
No.
No wind and no rain at the AJ Bell.
I think this is really hard to call. I can see Sale winning at home.
I am going to go with a Northampton victory, I think.
So Sale did change up their squad for this week, didn't they?
Yeah.
They rested a few
people.
Well,
they've also got huge. Dan Dupree is out, Beaumont's out. Lou Diego's out. Not that we've seen him yet, but he is out.
How come Wilson's not playing?
Still getting fit. Have I told you that I've encountered Wilson in the lunch hall at Sale?
In the flesh.
The guy's got the muscle tone of a chimpanzee. Like, he is unbelievably muscular.
Yeah.
He's just an absolute specimen.
Did you see, there was a video over the summer with the England squad where he's on a Watt bike and he's...
Oh my God.
The angles on his triceps.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's exactly what... That's precisely what he looks like.
Yeah.
Precisely. And I think he's nearly fit, which is going to be one hell of a dilemma. I mean, I know we've spoken about this before, but we've never actually...
I remember that video of him on the Watt bike. And do you know in Rocky IV when Dolph Lundgren's doing... They do the montage and Dolph Lundgren's running on that treadmill that's going higher and higher.
Yeah.
And he's giving it all the... Mark Wilson was like that.
Yeah.
Some
good facials, good gurning.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a narrow Sale win.
I'm going to go with you.
I think that Northampton, play a brand of rugby, it's going to be a nightmare for Sale. Can you imagine Marlon Yard exposed on a Sale wing with Proctor and Co. running towards him?
No. Proctor and Nairavoro.
Oh my good God.
Yeah. Saracens, Bristol.
Ooh, this should be a tasty
Allianz
game. So, I think Saracens will win. I think they'll go full bore.
Yep.
Full Borg.
Borg.
Yeah.
Wasps Quins. This is an interesting one. At the Rico.
Wasps Quins the Rico. Interesting. Wasps are not very good. Quins are. The thing about Quins is, although they don't believe in themselves, they are actually quite good. I mean, they have the component pieces. You know, they're not as... I think Wasps are actually bad.
that was the thing that Quinn's this week, Gustard, had them getting in the mindset of Anthony Joshua.
Oh, I told you there was some weird stuff. Yeah, that's another thing living in.
We forgot to mention that before.
How does that work? I mean, what is it that... I mean, why?
I don't know.
I mean, why Anthony Joshua's mindset?
The comeback, so...
But he lost against someone he should never have lost against.
Yeah.
That's exactly why they got in the...
Maybe.
Exactly why they did it.
That's what made the selection strange. We're channeling our inner Anthony Joshua by picking... By dropping Kerr and Smith and picking Landajo and Heron.
Yeah.
Landajo's a great player. I think Landajo's awesome, actually.
He can be. He hasn't shown it yet in the Premiership.
It might
take a bit of adjustment. But yeah, he is obviously 80-odd caps. You don't get that for nothing.
Yeah.
You don't.
So who are you going for on this? Wasps hosting
Quinns. Sorry, I've got to pick one.
This is Quinns. Hard I think to call.
I do think Quinns. Yeah, give me Quinns.
At the Rico, Wasps. And Wasps, so they played Edinburgh twice.
Look at the team sheets. If Willis is playing, they've got a fighting chance of beating anyone.
Either Willis. Both Willises.
At the same time. They can be quite good then, but it's too threadbare. Do you know when they don't play Sepawanga? But they've got to pay Sepawanga because he's paid so much.
Yeah, he's paid
a million
pounds.
And then you've got Billy Sirlin.
This is a toss of a coin. I can't pick it. I could see either team sneaking it.
If they both play to the potential, Quinns will win it.
Wasps at home.
And finally, Sunday, we've got London Irish East against London Irish West.
Yes. In the, there's multiple players that we could name the bowl after.
Yeah. The Jonathan Joseph Bowl. Anthony Watson Bowl.
The Watson Bowl.
The Watson Bowl.
Homer Bowl.
The Homer Bowl. The Garvey Bowl.
Yeah.
Toby Booth Bowl.
The CC Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's loads and loads and loads.
The Booth Bowl, yeah.
Booth Bowl. The Booth Bowl. So I think London Irish will do them. Simple as that.
The Leheath Bowl.
I think London Irish might do them as well. I've been pleasantly surprised with the way that London Irish have integrated, which was everyone was flagging that as a big risk. How do you, you've got all these massively paid players being integrated into a squad that was very successful last year in the Championship, how do you do it? And they seem, touch wood, they seem to have done quite well
so far. They are much better than I expected them to be. I think Declan Hinley is a far, far better coach than I gave him credit for, which is stupid because he's been around and he's done a lot of this stuff before. Yeah, give me London Irish.
They've still got guys to come in as well. So Sean O'Brien, not fit yet.
What?
He's there now. He's at the training ground.
Is he?
Yeah.
Coleman. Who we saw in a noodle bar in? Harajuku. He is a big boy. I was like, bloody hell, who is that bloke? Very tall. He stood out like I saw them in Japan.
I didn't see him, but I did see the guy with some of the biggest hands I've ever met. I've got huge, hugely powerful hands. Quade Cooper, powerful hands. Yeah. He's got like shovels for hands.
God. That was after the England game in Kobe, wasn't it?
It was after the England game.
We'd had a few strong zeros then.
God.
And we'd been basically drinking for 36 hours because of the flights.
You need to stop talking about a strong zero or people are going to start associating the pub with strong zero instead of Negroni.
Negronis.
Actually, we could get a licensing deal with strong zero. I mean, I'm sure it's illegal. It must be illegal.
It has to be illegal. It's not safe to have that in the UK.
Have you ever tried to buy strong zeros in the UK, Tim? You can get them.
Never heard of it till you came back from Japan.
Well, you can get them on Amazon, but like they're
like 15 quid a can or something like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but worth it.
Oh, so good. What a way to watch a rugby game.
I can see this one going either way as well. I'll go for the home team. I think I could possibly see all but Leicester winning at home.
I'm with you.
Sounds like you're bored of the podcast, Tim.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're ready to go home.
Oh, I really need the loo. That's the truth. It's actually the truth. I'm fidgeting loads, sat in the chair.
Well, there we go then. Everyone wins at home except for Leicester, who face another sad demise.
Yes, and Saracens are coming for you.
They are.
Leicester, Wasps, Quinns, Bath.
Merciless.
Saris are coming.
Right, we will be back with another podcast before Christmas, but let me remind you, get that present in for, treat yourself if nothing else, or treat someone else. Get your engraved cornerstone shaft, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. We'll be back. Hit subscribe. Tell your mates. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Beautiful.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.